As Mr. Rank said, the title of my sermonette is Finding Hope, and in the last few days I was kind of vacillating on that a little bit, because I think I could easily say by what I've written here is finding joy as well, and hopefully that'll become clear as I go through this. As followers of Jesus Christ, we know that we must remain vigilant concerning the signs of the end of the age and the beginning of sorrows and tribulation. Those who are awake and not in constant slumber, as many are, must surely be aware that all that has been prophesied has begun to some degree, though I suspect that Londoners in 1940 may have felt very much the same way. I was reading very recently that then the Deputy Prime Minister, Stanley Baldwin, rose in the House of Commons at the time of the impending threat from the Nazi expected invasion to warn that nothing could prevent the bombs from falling on their country and killing indiscriminately, and that there was absolutely nothing that could be done. And the estimations were that in just the first 10 minutes of war being declared, that the Nazis would unleash such horrendous bombing runs that 200,000 people would be lost within minutes and the entire city of London would be reduced to rubble. The Nazi war machine even had, at that point in time, a 4,000-pound bomb, 13 feet long, and they actually, ironically, nicknamed it Satan, but it could destroy an entire city block. So I suspect that the fact was that people of many ages have found enough to worry about and enough to be concerned about and enough to tie back to prophecy to be very aware of what was coming, much like flipping over a huge hourglass. You know, I always was fascinated by those things and watching the grains falling. Each one of those grains really signifies the end time growing even closer. And just a year ago, and we've talked about this, and I won't belabor the point, but just a year ago, the notion that the world would be locked down by a pandemic, when we've dealt with so many other flu viruses and whatnot, would have seemed ridiculous to us, ludicrous, and even not that death would be considered ludicrous, but the fact that we would close things down. We've had the annual flus, we've had the H1N1 pandemic, and still, all of these did not rise to the level politically that might justify a global controlled lockdown of people. Economies, both local and national, have been hammered by two now successive waves of the virus. Families, people, businesses have lost billions. Families have lost homes as a result of their financial difficulties. Families have lost, even more importantly, loved ones as a result. Governments have seized opportunity to exercise control over their population, regardless of the logic, either from a public health or an economic perspective. Those of us who question the motivation of those behind those in office may even consider the lockdowns as a prelude to the use of control for reasons that may soon become even more evident to those of us that believe. It's always useful to know if actions will work and the degree of compliance that will be possible, and perhaps that's what's been tested to some degree in the last 9 months or so. Week after week, we witness political changes that a decade ago also would have seemed impossible. We live through wars fought on the basis of false premise, very much as the plot of a movie some years ago. I know Mr. Link is a movie buff, and I'm sure he'll remember the movie Wag the Dog, which was in which the leadership of a country determined that a war was just what the doctor should order to revive an economy and focus a population and get people just to pull together. And they actually staged a very Hollywood-like effort to do so. Weapons of mass destruction, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, all true, absolutely, yet far more complicated in the prime movers of what was happening to be able to just simply reduce it to they hit us and we hit them back. So much more at stake in terms of the evil that was playing out. And It is absolutely true that someone did indeed mastermind the destruction of the Twin Towers in my old hometown, and the subsequent murder of 3,000 people of various races and cultures. So that had nothing to do with the motivation. It was just a desire to do evil. The mass murder of a people because of their religion did happen in the 1940s. We know this. Has happened in Eastern Europe in more recent decades and keeps happening in various corners of the globe. Evil is there. We wait for the signs that the book of Revelation tells us are coming and are here, and we're admonished to be awake and be prepared. And I dare say that we better be aware. We have to be vigilant and know that it's coming. Yet we do not know the hour nor the day, and neither does our Savior. Jesus is, however, the one who will defeat Satan and on whose shoulders the government of the world and its transformation will rest. Yet if, and this is where I, and we, all of that we all knew, and those of us that have been in the church are well aware of these signs. Yet if all we do with our life is to be on higher alert, we can fall into despair. And that's where the hope comes in. We can lose the ability to enjoy a sunny day, our families, our children, a cold glass of water on a hot day, or perhaps a beer or a wine with family, and the greeting of a loving dog or a special pet. Yet we must remain watchful and aware, but we must also honor God by appreciating all that He has created for us to enjoy and to do so appropriately. But to do this, we need to start at the beginning. And in order to find or rediscover joy in our lives, joy is not the fleeting happiness of that glass of water or that sunny day. Joy is the relationship that we have with God. And this means our relationship with God. When we have a rough time in this world, we can sometimes respond poorly and turn our backs on God and His mercy. Joy is what we can live with each day in our walk with God, because joy is specifically related to our relationship with God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We're well aware that we may not always have cause to be happy depending on circumstances in our lives. Sadly, life does not work that way, and we all know that. We all have our examples and our situations that we've lived with and come to live with, and challenges. And we will find happiness and we will know profound sadness in life. One who has been called by God, however, can know the joy of salvation. Happiness can be fleeting, but joy in the Lord can be eternal. A fine meal, a good book, a walk on a beach, all can make us happy, and these are all things we've done together, even at the Feast of Tabernacles, and we can enjoy those moments. But the relationship with God during those moments is exactly what we need to find that joy in our heart. All of the other items that I mentioned pass and pass on, and then we're left with ourselves. If we do not have God, we cannot know true joy. So I would ask you to turn with me now to Psalms 51 and in verse 12. Again, Psalms 51 and in verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So thinking of those words, perhaps God can cause our hearts to smile even if things on the outside seem to be falling apart around us. We can still know the joy of God. Can we understand this? Is this something we can even fathom? Imagine for a moment that you are one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, and He has just told you that He must go away, that He will be going away, but that He would one day return and all would be changed. Would we have enough faith to grasp this and not just be mired in the sadness, the profound sadness of the moment that someone we love dearly and deeply is telling us He's leaving us? As Jesus tries to explain, He recognizes that His own followers have a limited depth of understanding. Turn with me now to John 16. And in verse 20, we see how Jesus addresses this. So John 16 and in verse 20, "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy." And again, Jesus was telling his apostles something very, very specific about how the world would see his death and how they would see it, but that if they stayed true to their faith, they would know true joy, and that would make all the difference. As we watch this world seemingly begin to implode or further along, it's hard not to feel stress. But what I'm referring to is much different. As we wait, observe, and look for the signs of the evil in our age so we can be aware and we can be on guard and its growing presence as we are commanded to do, we must never forget that God is the author of all things good, all goodness. And there is much around us that God provided for our happiness. But we have to be aware and take time to appreciate one another and all the blessings that we enjoy. And in the opening prayer, Mr. Rank made that very, very clear. Even the ability to be here today is a joy that we probably take very much for granted time and time again. But it's a joy because of our relationship with God, and it's a happiness because we've gotten to enjoy this beautiful sunny day and to be together. I'm not saying that all this is easy all the time, and I usually like to try to be very upfront, and I would say I personally struggle with this, and it does not please me that I do, and I'm working on that. But the fact that we have that opportunity to check ourselves and say, is this the right attitude for us to have and adjust, is important. Now, finally, I'd ask that we read this together. It's Psalm 34, and this one has just always meant an awful lot to me. And beginning in verse 17, we're going to read 17 through 19, and I'm going to read it here for you as well. Psalm 34, beginning in verse 17, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." And continuing in verse 18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." We have help to rediscover joy. And that joy is our relationship with God. And we have help to find happiness each day of our lives. It would be disingenuous for me to leave you with this and have you assume that if you're not feeling it, that you're not righteous. Being happy can be easy, and yet at times it can be the hardest challenge we face. But if we look for that, maintaining that relationship with God, finding the joy that is truly important, then we can go on and find hope and happiness in our lives because it's based on that relationship with God.